2 Corinthians 11, I feel very urgent about both the Bible study and the message today. Both of them are going to come from this chapter. And what Paul is saying right here could be the thing that I want to stress the most throughout my time as pastor here, however long the Lord would have me to be the pastor here. Verse 2 says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, Paul said "I" three times in that verse, and God's true called preachers don't really like to say "I." He said, "I'm jealous over you." He said, "I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you." Paul knew that he did not espouse anybody to anything. He knew that. You know, men talk about going out and winning souls. And Paul knew that he did not form a covenant between anybody. He didn't form the covenant between God and his people. He knew that he was not going to present them at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jude 24 says, Christ is going to present them faultless before the presence of his glory. Paul knew that. That's why he said in verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Back in chapter 5, he said, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." That's what he said. Paul knew, "I'm not doing any of this." But he said, "I am speaking on God's behalf, an ambassador for Christ." The Corinthians, the believers that he was talking to, and it happened in many places, but they were being influenced by lying. It says in verse 15, he called them ministers of Satan. Lying preachers. They were being turned away from the gospel, turned to doctrines that were so close to the gospel, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. And I want to warn us of the danger of something that's so close. The closer it gets, the more dangerous it becomes. That message that is so obviously not in agreement with God's word, that there's no real danger in that. God's people see it. But that message that's so close, if it were possible, and thank God, and Paul knew that too. He's preaching to God's people, and he knows God's going to keep you. But the message they were hearing was close to the gospel, but it was not the gospel. Turn over just a couple of pages to Galatians 1, verse 6. He said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." That's a fear of any believer. Oh, Lord, don't remove me from what you've shown to me and revealed to me. Verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. These brethren heard this true gospel from him, and they loved it, and they fell in love with Christ. They really fell in love with Christ. And now for Paul to see them turned away from that gospel, turned away from him, it's breaking his heart. It's just breaking his heart. And back in the text, in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, "Bear with me. Bear with me as I stress to you my love and concern for you, as I stress to you what the true gospel really is, as I stress my motive for preaching it to you." He said in verse 2, "For I am jealous over you." Jealous means a feeling within a person which demands exclusive loyalty and resents a rival or competitor for the affections or attention. It demands exclusive loyalty, and it resents a rival or competitor for the affections or attention. Paul said, "I have that feeling over you. My heart's desire is your exclusive loyalty." And he said, "I resent any rival or competitor that tries to steal your affection or attention." But he said, "Here's the kicker. That jealous desire over you is not toward myself. My desire for your loyalty and your affection and your attention is not toward me." He said, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy." Verse 2, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I'm burning up inside." Jealousy is eating me up over your loyalty and your attention and your affection toward Christ. It's just killing me. He said in verse 2, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." That is the burning desire of every God-called messenger of Christ. And it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. It is so real. That's all I can tell you. It's so real. It's like nothing I've ever experienced. I did not experience it before I was called to pastor. I enjoyed preaching. I enjoyed my Lord. I enjoyed the glory of Christ. I enjoyed all those things. But this is so real. It is so real. It is so all-consuming, all-controlling, all-burning, all-jealousy. You ever feel like a madman because of jealousy? My heart's desire is that you might be consumed with Christ. I mean consumed with Christ. Forget about me. I would love it if everybody would ask you guys, "Who's the pastor down there? Let's see, what is his name?" Forget about me. Forget about me. Let me be no hindrance between you and Christ. Let none of my faults, let none of my weaknesses, let none of my everything wrong with me, let none of that come between you and Christ. Forget about me. Forget about me. If you love me with all your heart, forget about me. If I'm getting on your nerves, forget about me. Forget about me. Who am I? Nobody. Nobody. I just want to literally shove you to Christ. I mean that. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 26. "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. The one, the Christ, the one you said was a Lamb of God, the one you bore witness of, everybody's coming to him. You baptized him. And now they're not coming to you, they're all running to him. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. If sinners are running to him and hearing him and rejoicing in him, I've received the desires of my heart. If that's what's happening, I have received the reward for my labor. That's all I want. That's what he's telling them. That's all I want. That's my goal. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy. That's me, I'm earthy. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified. He's telling us the things of God. No man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Whoever believes on him with the whole heart, the whole mind, the whole soul has life. Whoever's affections, though, whoever's attention is turned away from him to anyone or anything else shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul said, this is why I'm so jealous over you. So jealous. This is why I so adamantly stress the things that pertain to him. Him. So adamantly push you towards him. Press toward the mark. It's because I just want you to be with him. I want you to be with him. I want you to be married to him. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians 11. The end of verse 2 says, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Chaste means sacred, pure, immaculate, clean, innocent. Virgin. No other man. Him alone. Paul said, I just want you to be set apart for him alone. If you see there's a reference right there as a chaste virgin to Christ, there's a reference to Ephesians 5. Turn with me over there to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Everything that he has said right here, we can apply this to our physical lives. We would be so wise, if we would apply this to our physical marriages. We would be so wise. He's speaking directly to husbands and wives. But he said right there in verse 32, everything I'm saying right here is concerning Christ and his bride. Christ and the church. And what he's telling them is, I'm describing to you who you are espoused to. Describing to you the one that has graciously, lovingly betrothed you to him, how he's dealt with you, how he's treated you. This is your husband. We'll start right here, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. The word submit, everybody when they hear that word submit, the word submit is in this book 16 times. Submit, 12 times. Submitted, 3 times. Submitting, 1 time. Submitting is in verse 21. 16 times total. Servants are told to submit to their masters. David said, my enemies are going to submit to me. He said, you're my God. The battle is yours. I know my servants are going to submit. My enemies are going to submit. We're told to submit to each other. That's what it says in verse 21. We're told especially to submit to those that administer the word of the Lord, which means we submit to God's word. The Apostle Peter told us to submit to every ordinance of man. Whatever the law of this land says, whatever laws these wicked men have come up with, whatever it says, do it. If it says you have to do this, do it. How do we respond to the law of the land? Do it. If it says this is illegal, against the law, don't do it, don't do it. Don't do it. We are to be a submissive people. James said, submit to God. Right here, Paul tells us to submit to Christ. He said, everything I'm saying right here is about Christ and his church. He said, submit to Christ. But not one time is it recorded in this word that the Lord Jesus Christ looked at his bride right in the eyes and said, you'd better submit to me. Not one time. It's not his way. It's not his way. Now, in my ignorance, in my absolute, everybody knows where I'm about to go, don't you? In my absolute ignorance, I'm so ashamed of this. In my absolute ignorance, at the beginning of our marriage, I fell into the foolishness of that. I thought that's what a man was. I'm a fool. I was an absolute fool. I was an ignorant fool. But God helped me. He started revealing to me through this word. And I still want to see more of it and more of it. He said, this is not how I treat my bride. And this is not how men who follow me treat their brides. I know that all of you men are wiser than I am. I know you're not eaten up with pride like I am. I know you don't have problems with it like I do. But I'm convicted. It both convicts me and it causes me to really rejoice to know that our Lord Jesus Christ has never one time looked his dear, precious bride in the eyes and gritted his teeth at her and said, you better submit to me. Do his people submit to him? You better believe it. You had better believe it. But that's not the way he brings them to submission. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife. God has made that to be so. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. God said, that's how I've ordained it to be. Well, if I don't tell her to submit, how am I going to get her to do it? Well, here's what God says to do. Verse 25. Husbands, love her. Love her. Love her. That sounds so nice to hear, doesn't it, ladies? I tell you this, that is nice for a sinner to hear from the one that sinner has been espoused to. He said, love her into it. That is what Christ did for us. The love of Christ constrained us. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. That's selfish. That's real selfishness. That's a good selfishness right there. That's a good jealousy. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. That's the way the husband has treated his bride, who he espoused to himself. The only way that Christ has ever looked at his bride is in love and affection. Paul said, let me push you toward the one you're espoused to. Let me tell you about him. Even though his bride was so naturally rebellious against him, he loved her, honored her, gave her his all. Gave her everything. He gave her everything. He gave her his name. Jeremiah 23 says his name is called the Lord our righteousness. This will never stop being amazing to me. Jeremiah 33 says her name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's holy. That is holy. He literally gave her his name. He gave her his life. He gave her his image, gave her his inheritance, joint heir. He seated her with him on his throne. What right does she have to sit there? He said, you're going to reign with me. You're going to rule over angels. He made her to be just like him. One flesh. One flesh. He said, as I am, so are you. Who wouldn't want to submit to that? Who would not want to submit to that? This is the one we have been espoused to. What a husband. What a husband. I press you to him. I press you to him. He deserves, he's worthy of all of our attention. He deserves and he's worthy of all of our affection. And we sincerely, and I mean this, we sincerely, however much longer the Lord has given us, it's not much longer. It's not much longer. We sincerely need to guard against anything or anyone stealing that attention and stealing that affection away from him. I pray the Lord will make it so, and I pray this too. For the rest of my days as pastor here, however many more days the Lord would have me to be the pastor here, bear with me. Bear with me in my folly, and indeed, bear with me. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. And in all of my error and all and my ignorance and my all of my weaknesses, all of my immaturities, everything that's wrong about me, I believe the Lord has given me a desire that you might be espoused to one husband. And I pray the Lord will help me to just press you to him. chaste virgin to Christ. Bear with me. All right, you're dismissed.